Welcome to Argue Brothers, the podcast that gives you multiple perspectives on today's hottest topics. Whether you're young or old, you'll want to hear what the Argue Brothers have to say because you might learn a few things. So open up your mind to the fresh perspective that's coming your way right now.
And now we are live. We are on the third episode of Argue Bros. We are joined here by Fred in Progress and Jess Freeman. All right, now, this ain't going to be like the other two episodes. We're just going to be chilling and talking about, is gaming an e-sport? You know what I'm saying? Are those actual sports? What do you guys think?
Like, no. You can't just say it like that. You got to say the real meat, potatoes, and bones that we're talking about. Do the esports pros and the fans of esports deserve the same respect as regular sports professionals? That's where it really matters. Do they get the same respect? Is the same amount of skill and effort? Like, what's the output versus?
Here comes my argument. First of all, can we Google sport? Because I need the actual dictation for please.
I'm on that. Let me look that up because that's actually true. So sport is defined as sport pertains to any form of competitive physical activity or game that aims to use, maintain, or improve physical ability and skills while providing enjoyment to participants and, in some cases, entertainment to spectators. Sports can, through casual or organized participation, improve one's physical health.
Okay, I threw that out there just because for those who think that shit is gaming is not a sport, shut your ass up. Do they get the same respect? I don't know, because there's actual sports that you gotta literally break your body to get to your physical peak. Video games is like you get one
what?
Oh, well, we got a bad connection drop through, man.
All right. Bad connection. That's like, moving on. Honestly, for me, I don't know. For me, I'm on the side that I don't think it is. Like, you know, you heard the textbook definition. Textbook definition clearly states that a sport requires physical activity.
Or game-like.
You know, so sports, you know, kind of require you to have that physical aspect to it. And without that physical aspect, unfortunately, you're just not an actual sport. You know, that's my personal opinion, but I do want to say that esports are legit. It's just not the same as, you know, somebody that goes out there and, you know, blood, sweat, and tears consistently on a field with their body, because you're using a keyboard, you're using a mouse and whatnot. So it's like you're stationary. It does require, you know, high reflexes and eye hand coordination. I will say that it's not like just anybody can be an esports athlete. You know what I'm saying? Like Fred in Progress is nasty as Fred RTG with his Twitch and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Like this dude is like one of the best FPSers I've seen. You know what I'm saying? I'm trash at FPS, but he's really good at that. So, you know, people have to have specific skills in order to play. Yes, but it doesn't make you sweat, you know, unless you're already sweaty. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't agree. That's not
what?
That's not even an argument. This is not an argument that has to be had whatsoever, because it makes zero sense logically. If you look at it, in esport, it's literally using the keyboard and mouse. If you want to get into the nitty gritty, it can possibly be even more competitive than an actual sport is, because of the access it has online worldwide. Most sports you're going to be playing against regionally in your high school, in your college, in your nationality, in your area, in your state. But with esports, you're playing against at least your entire country, and you're in the position you're playing for is going to be way smaller. It's not big leagues, not big teams. You're going to be playing for way smaller, and it's way more competitive because of how many people are playing online and how many people you're going to be playing against. In my opinion, that's just the competition of it. To say not a sport though, it's a lot of training, a lot of skill that goes into it. It's just a hand-eye coordination sport where you have to use the mechanics that you have provided to you. Just because you're not moving physically as much doesn't mean it's not a sport. Just like it's just like similar to chess but virtual.
What?
Chess is a very well-respected sport. It just like the world is moving more and more toward virtual, and esports is going to continuously grow, and eventually sports may become outdated and sports may start merging into esports.
So wait, so are chess players considered athletes?
Are they not? Are they not?
I didn't know. Are they,
do you not? I mean, Hikaru just got sponsored as a chess athlete with Team Liquid or 100 Thieves or something like that.
I didn't know that. And turning I stuff, didn't know like, that.
And are they chess? I mean, would they not be considered? What are they called? If not chess athletes or chess professionals, pros, just like any kind of pro. Yeah,
professional chess player. Yeah.
So just like a pro of any kind.
I mean, I know they have rankings and you know like grandmaster, because I used to want to become a professional chess player until I started playing in a chess club and I realized how hard it was to play. Because, you know, I started really realizing how trash I was. And the only reason I usually beat my closest friends is because they never have played against really good people to understand, like, how crazy good professionals are. And not mm-hmm. just professionals, but people who take chess as a passion, like, really seriously. Because I remember, at least in Worcester, one day I went to, I was, you know, bored out of my mind. And I was like, hey, let me join a chess club real quick, because I remember at Ed White I was in the chess club, you know, and I remember when I used to live in Maine, I was also in a chess club, and I remember my mom showed me how to play chess. So I was like, you know, there's got to be other like-minded people. Like, there's 180,000 or so people in the city. There's got to be people that play chess. Looked it up online, found out a local chess club. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And at the chess club when I went there, you know, they just destroyed me. Like, even like there was like an 8-year-old there, and he was just, bruh, it was so embarrassing. And I was like, is he ranked? And he's like, yeah, he's a ranked chess player. And I was like, damn, I got my butt handed by an 8-year-old who is ranked.
All I want to say is just like with chess and other forms of sports, it's just another form of sports. I don't even think we have to question the validity of if it's a sport. I just think it's more of the question of, do they get the same respect and do they deserve the same respect? Not if it is a sport. It's just the same as like bowling. Nobody really gives bowling.
I forgot bowling was a sport.
Like we got Wii bowling. We could make Wii bowling a sport
I feel like, but bowling though, you could kind of say that bowling is a sport for real.
It takes a lot of skill and like the courage physical. And everything. It's heavy.
That's heavy. This is 12 pounds, 15 pounds. Bro, you know what I'm saying? Bro, and you've never beat me in bowling. We gotta say you've never beat me in bowling.
Bro, play me now though. That's not even a question. Out of three games, we record out of three games, fam.
I bet I won two of them. Yeah, I can't believe that.
And then it's not out of five.
You almost beat me and you choked.
That's out of five.
Oh, that's hilarious. No, but yeah. Different. Well. Your eye-hand coordination is different, and your confidence is different now. You probably won't be able to get talked out of having a knife, because you had two gutter balls and all. That was a finesse. Like, man, that was a finesse for you to have two gutter balls in a row. Like, wow, I forgot what the heck I was saying, but you know, yeah, that's why I was like, you know, gaming. I feel like it's a fine line, and
it's a very technical thing, though.
But you know. People like Faker, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a real athlete, you know what I mean? That's a real athlete. Like, this dude
you can't just jump to the pinnacle and say only the pinnacle is an athlete.
The ones around them have to be an athlete for the pinnacle to exist. They got special treatment.
If there's no standard,
the standard is you got to be the pinnacle to be considered.
an athlete. They have to be the pinnacle to be considered an athlete, bro.
Not on gaming.
No, because do you understand the magnitude of the numbers? Because you can't physically see the numbers. Just like on draft night, you can physically see how many people are getting drafted. There's not as much respect there. But the numbers, if you look at the online people who try to play just to rank up, do you know how many silver scrubs there are? Do you know how hard it is to climb the top 500 of their region and then to get into the pro teams? It is very difficult. They deserve the respect because it's something that not everyone can do. That's the significance of where the respect should come from.
Yeah, if you should be from a respect for an online community, but not a respect when you translate to IRL.
It's a respect for anybody who respects the sport. Just like if you don't respect basketball, you're not going to respect the athlete.
Yeah, I can agree.
What it really is that esports is growing as a community, and as it grows and people see it, then the respect will go there. Because people understand how difficult it is to get there. Because people don't understand it. Just a few years ago on public TV and like the Nightline TV shows, people were laughing and going crazy over all the ninja hoopla and stuff of them being like, oh my god, people sit down and watch you play video games. And now look, everybody's on it. Like 2 years everything just changes. So imagine what we're gonna be in 2 years from now. Esports are gonna keep on growing
and then people are gonna get into the VR gaming and then it's gonna be realistic gaming.
And then with better internet and better technology and the countries are already fighting 5G. Over underwater wiring across the seas and everything, oceans for the Wi-Fi and everything. Once the internet gets better and we're constantly getting more technology and more utility and innovation in the gaming field in general, esports is just going to continue to grow, and that's why it's probably going to gain more respect as time goes on, more than a regular sport would, because it's growing at such a rapid pace and being introduced to so many new people and new areas. And so when you think about it, it has the highest possibility of growing. It doesn't have the most respect right now. It has way more respect than it did a few years ago, and a few years ago from then, because as more people play video games, because video games weren't something that everyone was playing. It was something that was looked down upon. It was something that was scorned by the world. It was something that your parents didn't want you to do because you were going to fail. But now people see so much money and so much popularity and stuff in it as well, as people starting to go to join video games and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's going to continue to gain respect and gain notoriety as people understand how difficult those things are. Because people are just going to look and see, ooh, a video. They don't understand the work and the time and the effort it takes until they try to play themselves in the game and realize how difficult it is.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, because, you know, when you think of somebody that has nothing to do with the industry of gaming as a whole, you know, let's say for our,
it's a big barrier to entry.
Yeah, for example, like our parents. You
pick up a ball and go.
No. I mean, like, for example, like for our parents, you know, for them to think of gaming as a sport and then to look at it like, why would you choose that as a career choice as opposed to trying to do it in basketball or football? Even though money is the same. What's the difference? It's the level of respect, because you're not going to, at least for me, you know, it's like there's no merit in that. It's like, how do you make your money? It's like, oh, I make my money playing games. It's like, as opposed to I make my money, you know, lifting boxes at a retailer. It's like people actually believe there's more merit in stuff like that as opposed to gaming, because they don't consider it, you know, a quote unquote worthy enough. Because like, as you mentioned, you know, people don't know the difficulties of entering. You know, I know how hard it is to like no scope. You know, I can't do that. you know what I'm saying? So it's like for other people that can no scope and do all these crazy stuff, you know, it's crazy, because when you try to do it, it's like, oh my goodness, this is really hard. Never in a million years could I do anything these, you know, crazy guys that you watch on Twitch be doing, you know, all those crazy moves. It's like, damn, how did he do a 360 and like bomb, bomb, you know, or how did he 1v5 him in Rainbow Six? Like, how is that even humanly possible? Like, are you sure that's not an AI or aimbot? Like, what? Like, he really just 1v5'd him and clutched the whole team, carried? Like, what? That takes a lot of skill. But, you know, try to explain that to, you know, old 50-year-old Dominican. Like, what took a lot of skill? Clicking a mouse? You know what takes a lot of skill? Installing or fixing a dishwasher, fixing a dryer, that takes a lot of skill. Or, you know, changing your oil, that takes a lot of skill. Like, click, 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 and you kill somebody. Yeah, I could do that with a real gun too. Like, okay, nobody was talking about that.
Yeah, and then the barrier to entry is also really kind of high if you think about it. Because, like, people, everyone can pick up a basketball and play, pick up football and play. The opportunity to play is so easily available. But like with video games, you have to like buy the console, or you have to have the computer, you have to know how to download it, you have to be interested in games.
I feel like with PC gaming, though,
there's a lot to get into, a lot to do before you even get to the game. I feel like with PC gaming,
though, it's a lower barrier of entry because, you know, laptops are like $200 now. And you can actually play a lot of games on a Chromebook.
Bro, you cannot play no game on Chromebook. Chill out.
No, you could.
Chill out. Don't chill out. Do not try to lower the barrier entry to video games to like $200. You would at least spend $500 before you find a game. Get out of here. Unless you buy a used PS2, PS3, something like that. Unless you jerry-rigging an old Windows 95. You was playing $500, okay? $500. Don't let this man hopeful dreams of you stumbling into Walmart and finding, yo, we got a 99% sale. Yo, $200.
You guys will not believe, though. Like, I've found so many great deals in Walmart just by walking in at the right time. Like one time, I got a really nice PC, normally retailed at $1,200. They had it on sale for $699 because the employees did not know the value. They lowered it. It was like a custom lower. You know, I used to work at a retailer, so I could tell that the labeling was custom, and they actually lowered the price. Like the employees themselves lowered the price because I was like looking at the pieces, and this was when the crypto craze was going. And I was like, how can they have a video card like that with a price? Like the video card by itself was $699. I was like, this is crazy. Like the video card by itself was $699. Like what? I wasn't trying to spend money or upgrade, but the opportunity just presented itself, you know. But you know, for people that have a Chromebook, I would say you could, you know, maybe not as good as the 500, because the 500 could, you know, you could play a little League, a little Counter Strike, you know, maybe even a Left 4 Dead. You know what I'm saying? What else could you play?
Counter Strike is always easy to run. Honestly, it's never too difficult to run. But yeah, if they don't play the game, they can't really understand what's going on and how difficult it is to do the things that's being done. But I think it takes the same amount of effort and work, though,
to play.
I think it takes the same amount of effort and work to play, though. It takes the time grind and the mental grind of like any other kind of game would. It's just not as much as a physical aspect of it, but it takes the same mental and the same hand-eye coordination. You have to be able to the dexterity and the hand-eye coordination alone is very difficult. That they have to be top of the game in. So it just requires different things. So it's respect from a different way. I mean, just like if you can't put a boxer in MMA and expect him to win. Just like you can't put a football player in playing esports and expect them to be amazing, and vice versa. You can't switch sports. You can't
don't
switch.
Don't tell that to the NBA players because they be playing 2K like they good. They be playing 2K like they nice. They be playing 2K like they about that life. Switch, like they don't have a professional esport league.
Bro, that would be funny. Looking at you, Josh. That would be funny if somebody would be a dual. That would be funny if somebody ever became like a dual professional. Like they take esports 2K seriously and NBA.
Yeah, like you know, I mean,
showing up to the tournament.
Hey, you just subbing Josh Hart right now, my guy.
That would be hilarious. out here showing up the tourneys and everything.
Yeah, like they'd be doing that, you know. But I'd be feeling like it's the pay to play kind of. You know, not the skill got me here kind of thing. You know, it's not a transferable skill for sure. Playing on
the unlocking the cards and stuff.
Yeah, like playing on the core versus playing on the sticks is not the same. Just like shooting a gun in real life and shooting one in the game.
I could never play a sport, man. Don't even get me started on sports video game. Only sports video game I ever played was like Madden 04, 05. That was the only sports
I love
on PS2.
I love.
I
can
never
sports,
play a 2K game.
Man, I love FIFA. I love FIFA Street. I love NFL.
Man, y'all FIFA people.
Madden,
y'all FIFA people. Y'all
I love Madden Street. I love 2K. I loved Live. Oh man. Oh, MLB The Show. I love that. I remember when I created my own character on PS2. You know Rafael Pena. You know what I'm saying? I had to make him the gov. You know what I mean? And I remember when I put it on. I think it was outfielder or no second base, because I always thought, you know, that the second and shortstops were like the captain and the vice captains of the team. because they always held the front line. You know what I'm saying? Like, if any, you know, they would get like maybe 60 to 70% of any ground balls that were hit to the infield. So it's like, you know, I always wanted that, but, you know, I always lacked the quick reflex. So, yeah, you know, I always opted out to play in the outfield. But when I played in the MLB The Show, you know, I juiced my man up. You know, I gave him a couple steroids. You know what I'm saying? I juiced him up so he could. There it goes. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, that game was so fun. You know, I was just swinging the power swing. I wasn't bunting. I wasn't going for no singles. You know, I was going for the fences every time.
I could never do no sport. I don't know. This sport can be boring me. I don't know.
Same with 2K. Same with 2K. I create my player. You know what I'm saying? Same with FIFA. I create my career. You know what I'm saying? I have my number in FIFA, number 19, because that was my soccer number. You know what I'm saying? You know, so like I create my career. Because I feel like it's like this RPG. Like if I would have had that time, if I would have had that skill set, this is what I could have accomplished. You know, this is my outlets. Like I'm living out this. Oh my God. What if fantasy? And I feel like everybody does that when they play those kind of games because
they probably do.
Wants to wish that they were in the NBA playing alongside, you know, LeBron and Kobe and Mike and all these people. And that's why they put those teams in there, because everybody has this nostalgic feeling, but it also feels like you're the one with them on the court. You feel me?
I understand your perspective as to why you played them.
Yeah, I feel like
I could never play them more than 30 minutes.
Nah, I could
play them. But I get it. I play shooters endlessly. Just like if you like, let me bring it back to being an esport professional. Mm-hmm. Just like you put hours in the gym, they literally just put hours on the computers doing the same training over and over again, just for muscle memory. It's just micro movements more than like the big movements, like shooting form, for example, or tackling or anything else you would practice much. It's just less seen, you know, and it's less recognized.
So what you're saying is that the movement is still occurring. It's just not the same level of movement.
Saying the same, yeah, the same, yeah. I'm saying it's technical and it still requires the same amount of effort and practice and time as well, because a lot of muscle memory.
So do you feel also like if you're the quote unquote champion of the world, you know, team champion, regardless of whatever, like whether it be a champion of league or a champion of a first person shooter kind of thing, do you feel like, you know, that should have some weight to it? Like when you go somewhere that people should either revere you or just hold you at a higher standard.
It has as much weight as it has in the community that it's built in. It just so happens that sports such as like NBA and football are world renowned. Esports is not world renowned, so it's only going to be in the places where esports is big. So like, if, for example, if you went to like South Korea or something like that, where esports is huge and they're actual celebrities, then they will be like popular around the country. But if we go to a place where like esports aren't that big, you only be like the main place of esports is like LA, where like they have like the big esports arena.
If you go to any rural place, you're just another person.
Yeah, you're only known where you're known at, and that's why I say when esports is bigger, way bigger in probably 10 years from now than it is now currently, then you'll be more known, more respected.
But then it kind of sucks because everybody that's currently at their quote-unquote peak.
And that's just like in the past, everyone who was at their peak, they're looking at how much money and everyone making. They were just playing on little Winn-Dixie tables in a little sweaty little
room. It's like, damn. It's like, I was getting paid $20,000 a game. These guys are getting paid how much a game? $300,000? $400,000? Especially because then, you know, money's going to inflate, so it's going to be overly the top. You know what I'm saying? And it's going to, you know, be all in big, bold words and big and bright. You know, it's going to be, you know, the next big contract or the biggest contract ever. And it's like, yeah, it's always going to be the next biggest contract ever when, you know, the money always keeps changing.
Yeah, just how Dota's TIs, the internationals, how they fundraise every time. They keep getting the prize pool getting bigger and bigger, how people's purchases go into the prize pool and all that kind of stuff like that, how they run that. Imagine just as it gets bigger and bigger and more popularity and such, that's probably going to still continue to be the biggest tournament.
Now,
millionaires, turning out millionaires from there.
Now, do you feel like you'd be capable of joining that if you would have ever focused on actually trying?
I don't know.
Like looking back, like if you would have put that time and effort and work in, like an actual athlete,
I didn't know what to do at that point. I was just wasting my time. playing for fun and not playing methodically to get better.
So you were just moving in the wrong direction.
You could do a career and have all that off video games.
You know, it's possible.
Yeah, so yeah, I know it's possible. So instead, I was just playing for fun.
But what about now?
Trying to get good now. No, I got too much. I got too much stuff to focus on now.
But what if the money?
No, I'm past my prime. 24 is 24 too old.
How is it?
18 years old is like 18. You're hitting your prime by like 2021, and you either gonna be in and out of there unless you a prime player.
So there is a lifespan too.
Yeah, there's a life band. Like, there's a life band, but I mean, there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people still playing like 30 and stuff, like 20.
Yeah,
you just got to be really good.
So it's
and people aren't looking to give older people opportunity. They're looking to pick up the 18-year-olds and train them up. They ain't trying to wait for somebody to come in at 24.
Unless they're already about that life.
Yeah, yeah. Unless they like banging out heads and everything, like amazing skill.
Yeah, then they're like, "Yo, we'll offer you a 2.5 mil." You know what I'm saying? You're gonna drop your job because that's all they want.
But the time, like, see, you gotta respect the time they put in to get there. Like, they live, eat, and die the game. They spend hours upon ten hours a day grinding out games. There could be somebody else
that plays for 2 hours and gets a higher return on training.
Yeah, that's literally just
geniuses.
Exactly, that's little innate talents.
Yes, those are one in a million. You never know at what skill you're the one in a millionth in.
This man just full of hopeful dreams, glitter, sunshine. You never know, sir, you see that? You could possibly be that one grain of sand among that billion grains of sand, bro. Like, bro, if you ever need somebody to tell you that you special, man. Bro, there you go. There you go. He walking you a special. That's a 15% discount. You special though.
LOL. Nah, but yeah, you know. But also, you know, since we're still on the subject, you know, when you play a lot, it does feel like it's an ingrained skill that you can't ever let go. Like, you know, how athletes, regardless how much they want to step out, it's like they always feel like they could always step in. Like, you know, for example, Dwayne Wade. You know, he retired, but now he went on the business side. And now he's buying a team. He's still in that area. You know, it's like, even though, you know, and I feel like, you know, people like Faker, once they leave, they'll have that decision to make whether they're going to put their time and effort into either like, you know, coaching or buying their own team or investing in it, or they're just going to, you know, leave away, disappear. And just, you know, feel like, you know what? I conquered and now I want to leave my piece. But there's other people that, you know, want to instruct or want to still have a part of it. Like, you know, I love it when players go on to become coaches or go on to become instructors, advisors, mentors, or they go on to own teams like Magic Johnson, because it's like you still have this amazing love and passion for the game, and you recognize that you no longer have that same skill set that you once did on the court. You know, but you can still give back one to the sport by raising up the next cream of the crop. And like I've been telling you, you know, when you pass on that knowledge to somebody else, it's like now you're passing on that baton of knowledge. So then they start at a pretty much like where you ended, at your best, at your peak. They take that. And then it's like, okay, now I'm as good as you are. Now let's see what I can do with the next 6 years of my peak. And then once they do that, it's like a never ending cycle. And I feel like at least in that aspect, I can agree, you know, gaming and gamers do have that in common, because, you know, as you mentioned, that the more popular it gets, the more people, like possibly my nephew, could become, you know, the next big shot, the next big thing. And I'm, you know, the next generation might have, you know, a MJ like person for esport as a whole, where it's like this person, whatever he does, it's just like, you know, tongue out, cocky, you know, trash talk, whole nine yards, adds that, you know, spark that everybody just wants to see and whatnot. And like you said, once it's popular enough, it's like the more people that it's around, the more frequent. Imagine if it's one in a million or really good. Imagine if you have now 100 million people that love the sport. Now you have a higher chance, and it's just a game of numbers. And then the more people that actually keep playing, the easier it is to get that person who has that raw authentic talent in front of like the right mentor, the right coach, which is why I really like how colleges and universities now are doing a lot of gaming programs, because now they're recognizing that the future.
Bro, thank you. That's where you're going. I wanted to talk on that. I'm glad we're going there.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, like, that's what I was saying. It doesn't even have to be that. Like, with the infrastructure that can be built out and going forward, that's why I want to get into, like, I want to do gaming lounge and stuff. I want to do, like, esports, like, tutoring. Because, like, the coaching you can get into and building, like, the infrastructure out of, like, esports right now. Like, if people take it seriously from a younger age with kids and stuff like that, you can do coaching and stuff. Like, if you want to talk about from the business operational side, yeah. You can make money coaching either, like, through freelancing or, like, if you own an establishment such as, like, a gaming lounge or something like that, you could do coaching on the side, rent out some of the time on the computer and hire out some higher level players after you confirm them and see if they can do some coaching for people or yourself or whatever. And then on top of that, you can help the player get better as well. And over time, the region can get better because there's coaching and such. And overall, all that would bring into focus is that it makes more money. People realize that there's more money to be made in gaming than they first thought, like with streaming, with professional play, with being an analyst, with being a coach. There's a lot of organizations now that are hiring out people just to do game testing and strategizing and such. There's just a lot more money to be made in gaming, and as the infrastructure grows and as the esports companies grows and the different companies come around gaming, there's gonna be more money to be had.
And so
I think it's a lot. I think if we look at it from a financial perspective, there's a lot of money to be had in like the gaming industry.
Of course, that's why all these industries are getting in on it. It's like they smell it. The
esports gaming industry,
you know, especially sponsors and advertisers, like they smell the amount of people that are looking, and just that is enough to entice them to want in, you know, to want to buy in, because then there's always going to be a rate of return. Because when you play, you need to have equipment, you need to have drinks, food, etc. So just it makes sense. And you know, to add to the college stuff that I was mentioning early, you know, it's crazy, because it's like if I would have went and had an opportunity, I might have chosen that as a career choice, like to study that at least to get a two-year degree. Because then it's like now I can have a more introspective look into the industry as a whole, as well as most likely, because if it is going to be college, they're going to teach the behind the scenes aspect. So like, you know, mentioned the analyst, probably the reporting, journalism, as well as, you know, how people are recording, how they set up the stages. Like I'm pretty sure that, you know, all the whole nine yards. But it's pretty cool, because then it's like you still have the opportunity to then represent your school, battle against other schools. And it also kind of reminded me of when I used to watch on YouTube this amazing YouTube series called Video Game High School. Like it was like,
Oh yeah.
It's like this is a real thing now. It's like you can go to another school and play video games for bragging rights. Like, dude, imagine if we would have done that in high school. You know what I'm saying? We would have been representing the whole school, you and me. You know what I mean? Like at least I could say you, me, and Ewart and his crew. You know, Ewart and Corey Dormer. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I feel like the four of us or a mixture of one of like the 16 of us, like, you know, with our gaming skills, because we were, you know, we was fanatics with it. But I feel like we would have easily, you know, been demolishing schools, you know, like Dojo, taking schools' names and stuff. But, you know, it's like, you know, and that's why I'm a little happy for my nephew, because it's like, dang, you're coming up in an age where it's like, if I was coming up in this age, man, I'd be number one in everything. I'd be like, what? You play video games for bragging rights and you can get a scholarship, bro? Like, that's wild. You can get a scholarship, full ride to go to school.
Yeah, that is really dope. You can have an esports scholarship. It's dope.
Yeah, people be getting scholarships for a full ride to be able to go and learn how to play professionally or how to manage a team professionally.
Like, yeah, and then if they would help you connect with different orgs in your area, that would be sick.
Yeah, because the networking part, I think, is like the last year, like they learn how to network, because networking allows them to learn how to connect. It's just like, I feel like tennis is like, it allows you to find like people that can get you in, get you a contract or get you a trial or something of the nature, because without that connection, then you have nobody that's going to give you a shot. It's like you need to know who's the person that hands out the registration forms or the applications. You know what I'm saying? If you don't even know the person who's handing out the applications or what link you have to go to, then you aren't going to have a chance. But at least if you know the person, then it's much, much easier, you know?
Yeah, it probably is much easier. And at least with like colleges now giving out like scholarships and stuff like that, it's becoming more prevalent and at least being on the forefront of some kids' minds as a possibility of what can be done. But it's still very, very difficult, just like with any other kind of sport, to reach there to where it's actually trying to provide you enough money where you can actually do it as a career. Very limited amount of people actually ever get to that point.
Yeah, it's just like I'm very happy, and it's like a nostalgic feeling. Like, damn, I wish. I wish. Just, man. Especially if it wasn't, like, to think about it, like, I would have had teachers and coaches telling me how to get better. Like, what? Like actually, like, how I did it with sports, because I played soccer and baseball. You know, and you have a special trainer, your coach, who's going to instruct you and teach you, hey, this is how you get better by doing this and this and this. And it's up to you, the athlete, to make that decision whether you're going to do what the coach said to do in order to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the coach says, yo, you know, Fred in progress, Fred RTG, stop doing X, Y, and Z, or else you're going to keep dying. And if you don't even listen to the person, then it's like, that's on you. But then once you keep listening and getting accustomed to it, then at one point, it's like they pass and transfer all the knowledge to you. And the rest of the way is just simply constant reminders that you already know. And then once you have that information, you take it to the next step. And it's like, if I would have been taught that either in high school and college, like, and I know people could say you could always go back, but why would you go back? Like, just to learn how to play, you know, it's like time, like you mentioned, like time's over, you know, it's like now it's like future generation. That's your golden time. Like, if this is your time, if you're around that age and you feel like you're the best player amongst all 15 or so of your friends.
All right. Let me ask you a question. Then. Let me ask you a question. We'll end out closing on this kind of question.
Mm-hmm.
So your father now, say you're like 30, 32, some, your son, like 10, 11 ish. They're like, yo, dad, I really like this video game. I heard my friends were talking about this little tournament, something like that. I want to play in the tournament, Dad. Would you let me play? Not like he wants to go into programming or anything like that. Would you allow him to play in that tournament? And then if he did good, or if he did bad, or if he said he wanted to do more of it, would you encourage him to do more? And if so, would you encourage him to do more in a method? Now that you know what you know about gaming now, would you encourage it like in a more methodical manner, if like you can get better at it, or would you encourage it like in a fun way, like, yeah, you can play? Like, would push your son to get better, or would you just push him to have fun?
If it's my son, I would honestly say that I would be the one teaching him how to improve on a minuscule level. Like, I started to realize how easy it is to just be the instructor, you know, as the parent. So it's like, of course, it's like the easier it is for me to teach him, the easier it is for him to dominate. And it's like, what parent doesn't want their kids to be like trashing their friends and being like, I'm better than you? Like, like, you, or are you saying like, you want to raise your son to be a loser? Like, like, what parent wants to raise their son to take L's? Like, what? No, it's like, son, this is how you beat Fred's kids. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, of course you're going to teach your kids how to improve and beat their friends, you know, and that's the whole competitive aspect of being an athlete that I you were mentioning earlier before. It's like, you know, when you have that competition, you know, somebody takes a W, somebody takes an L. Other than that, Fred, do you have anything else you want to add?
I just want to add, yeah, I just would want people to know that there's more opportunities out there now, like with esports and like the scene and the organization and stuff like that. Like, that's why if I ever went, like, depending on when I have kids or younger people, I would not steer them completely in this direction. Like, say for example, like a 15, 16, 17 year old one game, because they didn't think it straight. They just have dreams. Like, I have to see their skill level. Like, you gotta have some highlights. You gotta have some.
Wait, so somebody comes to you and you're just gonna trash their hopes and dreams?
Nah, I'm gonna be like, GSP said it on Joe Rogan. He was like, every time he's done working out, there's a lot of MMA hopefuls and stuff who'll be coming up to approach him and want advice from him about getting in MMA and stuff. And he's like, majority of me tells them, he doesn't want to hurt their feelings, and they tell them they get mad at him. He tell them that they're not going to make it and that they give up, and like, you may want to stay focused on college and stuff like that, because it's not for everyone. Not many people make it. You got to be realistic. And a lot of people, and just because you're good doesn't mean you're going to make it either, because it's not just being good at the game. You got to have communication, because you're going to join a team. Like, a lot of people miss that communication factor in that as well. It's a team game. Most esports games are team games. So there's a lot to go into it, but it's a respectable thing. It's just not as big as regular sports right now, but it'll continue to grow. It's something that you should keep an eye on for financial reasons, for opportunity reasons, just because it's an interesting thing to watch grow as technology improves and innovates.
Not bad. Well, with that, I think we have our third show under wraps. Unfortunately, we did lose Jess Freeman, but you know, we'll get him next time. Peace.
And now let me figure out how to make this stop. Do you know how to make it stop?
Not at all. Yeah, Brandon, it's over now. We just don't know how to figure this out.
Yeah, let me see. I think it's like...
You've been listening to Argue Brothers. We hope you enjoyed the show. Don't forget to follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and leave us a review to let us know what you think. Keep listening, and we'll catch up with you next week.